Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up, the best ribeye I've ever had, a few restaurant reviews, cranberry recipes, and my pie and side picks for Thanksgiving, plus a whole lot more. What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you by Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering winter squash, a variety of turkeys, organic produce, and everything else to make the perfect dish for Thanksgiving recipes. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I cook real flops. But I have been out of town for a week or so, and I haven't done any cooking hardly at all. And yes, I had the best ribeye ever on this trip. And it wasn't a trip just for, eating out or anything. It was a trip to visit family. But, of course, you always eat out when you're at the airport and you're moving from here to there, and then I stopped in Seattle for a couple of days and had some good food there. So for Sunday dinner one of these nights, I'm going to, yes, cook another ribeye, and it's going to be this recipe right here, and I had to take a picture of it. I'll actually upload it onto KFSK's Facebook page here this afternoon so you can actually see it. Kind of dark in there, but the Glacier Brew House, they've done it again with a new menu. So if you haven't been there recently in Anchorage, a few days ago, they updated their menu about 10 days ago, actually. And so I had ordered their wood-fired ribeye and balsamic reduction steak with grilled onion round, blue cheese crumbles served with garlic smashed potatoes and steamed broccoli rabe. And I would suggest it to anyone. And, of course, they grill their steaks over a wood fire, and I'm sure the steak was probably had a little marinade on it as well. That I'm not sure what it was. You could do some sort of a rosemary marinade would be good, but this was served with the potatoes and the broccoli rabe. Everything was cooked perfectly, seasoned perfectly. The steak was done exactly the way I like it, which is medium. And it couldn't get any better than that. It was seriously the best ribeye ever. I took the first bite out of it, and I was amazed. So if you want to make a grilled ribeye, I think some of the key to this ribeye was, of course, the freshness of it, and it was grilled perfectly and had that smoky flavor to it. But then it had that reduction over the top of it. So here's here's a balsamic reduction. This is my own recipe. This is a good recipe you could use on steaks, chicken, lamb, or salmon. You could also serve it cold or room temperature on a salad or some cheese. It would be really good on a cheddar or a mozzarella or fruit, strawberries, tomatoes. And then, of course, warm, like I said, on steaks, chicken, or lamb. So if we wanted to recreate the dish that I had a week ago at Glacier Brew House, you would start with a good ribeye and you would grill it. And while it's resting, you could make the reduction or make the reduction while it's grilling too. But start off with one cup of good balsamic vinegar, and then I would throw in a fresh sprig of rosemary and a teaspoon of black peppercorns. And you're going to bring that to a steady boil in a heavy bottomed saucepan and reduce it to half, or like when the vinegar reaches like a consistency of honey. So it's kind of thick. So it's going to reduce down quite a bit. Take it off the heat and remove the rosemary and the peppercorns, and then stir in the butter there at the end and set it aside to cool. So if it seems too thick, you can put it in a saucepan, warm it up a little, and add it to some water. Add some water to it. So there you go. And it can store in the refrigerator for 2 weeks, really. And so you drizzle that on your steak. To make the onion round, that's basically one round of onion. So when you cut your onion in half, then you're going to cut a nice quarter inch slice of onion, probably a little olive oil, salt and pepper on it, put it on the grill and grill it until it's nice and tender. You don't need to flip it around a whole lot because you don't want it to break apart. And then the blue cheese crumbles were on top of that, on top of the onion. But the glaze was probably put on with a squirt bottle. And it was just kind of, you know, on the plate a little bit and then, you know, back and forth on the ribeye. So I hope I'm making y'all hungry. I can't wait to make that dish. Also served with the ribeye was some garlic smashed potatoes. And I'm sure you've made garlic mashed potatoes before, but if you haven't, here's my recipe. You might remember from last year's Thanksgiving time, we talked about mashed potatoes, and really Yukon Gold are the best, I think, for mashed potatoes. So I would go with 2 pounds of Yukon Gold potatoes. You could use this recipe for Thanksgiving too. This uses roasted garlic, so you're going to need one whole head of garlic, a tablespoon of olive oil, a quarter cup of sour cream, 4 tablespoons of butter, some salt, and some white pepper, a little bit of milk or cream. And so you cut the top and bottom off of a head of garlic, drizzle it with a little olive oil, and wrap it in aluminum foil and bake it in the oven at 350 for 50 minutes. And then, meanwhile, peel and boil your potatoes in salted water until they're tender. Then when the garlic is done and has cooled, squeeze it out of the shell of the individual cloves, and then mash the roasted garlic with a fork, or you could use a garlic press and press it through that. Then put the cooked potatoes through a ricer or mash them with a masher. And then put the mashed potatoes, the garlic, sour cream, the butter, salt and pepper in a bowl and whip it by hand and add cream or milk until you reach the desired consistency that you want. You might want them more creamy. You can whip them, you know, some people like to whip them with a hand beater. Some like to put them in a stand mixer and really whip them. You don't want them to turn to paste, but I like mine with a little bit of chunk to it sometimes. At Glacier Brew House, they were a little chunky, so they were more smashed, definitely. And delicious. And then, you know, you just need a nice, fresh, bright green. So broccoli rabe or broccolini is perfect. Just steamed a little bit. It has a little bit of crunch to it, a little bit of salt and pepper on it, and you're good to go. It's a great, great meal. So that was one excellent meal that I had when I was out of town. Didn't have to cook. Another great meal was, most of you know about the Wild Ginger down in Seattle, and Rodney and I both had some good meals down there, and in particular, I had the 7-spice beef at the Wild Ginger. It, you know, Wild Ginger serves mostly Vietnamese style food, or, you know, it's Vietnamese inspired, the same flavors. So I went with the 7-spice beef, and yes, it was delicious. You know, a lot of their dishes have like that caramelized Vietnamese caramel sauce on it, which is, it's sugar, and you cook it down. And then you make a caramel out of it almost. And then you add your salty fish sauce to it. And so it has that sweet and that salty caramelized. And then you add your, of course, your lime and ginger and red pepper. Before you know it, you have that sweet and spicy thick sauce that really goes well on meat. So the 7-spice beef with wild ginger was delicious. And it was served with a brown and white rice. But, you know, beware with the wild ginger. You don't get vegetables with your meal. You have to order them separately. So I would suggest ordering the side of green beans or something like that, because you're not going to get that with your meal. Also, the lamb was delicious. It had the same sort of sauce on it, only had much more of a kick to it. And that was delicious. And actually, their prices aren't really outrageous or anything like that. You know, the lamb, of course, is a little more money, but it's not too bad. So definitely you stop in there, check it out, make sure you order vegetables on the side if you want vegetables with your meal. And that's right downtown. Also, you know, it's really one of our favorite foods, Vietnamese food. And so we just can't get enough of it when we're out of town. So also, if you're in Seattle, if you've never been to the International District, you should stop by there. Don't be afraid. Most of the food is delicious there. And if you're walking through Chinatown, of course, go into the places that, you know, have the most people, because you know they're going to be delicious. You can get lots of dim sum and all sorts of Chinese, but then you can also get some good Vietnamese food in the International District as well. And this restaurant called the Green Leaf Vietnamese Restaurant is a definite yes. And actually, I found out about that from Rodney, who was there a while back and had discovered it. And they are one of the top Vietnamese restaurants in Seattle. And it's just a small hole-in-the-wall place there in the International District. And they serve bang xiao, which is hard to find when you're eating out. A lot of Vietnamese restaurants do not serve bang xiao. There are also, I think, maybe 2 Vietnamese restaurants up in Anchorage that serve bang xiao. And bang xiao is a crispy rice pancake made with rice flour. A little turmeric is in it. It gives it a yellow color. Rice flour, coconut milk, and steamed mung beans. You make a nice batter out of all of that. And you make a pancake, and you fill it with pork and shrimp and usually bean sprouts. And then it's served with a huge plate of greens like basil and lettuce and all sorts of really nice greens, cilantro, sometimes like a purple basil, they call it. It's a kind of a Vietnamese purple basil. And it's delicious. So I would suggest that you stop there. Stop into the International District and check it out. You can also get a lot of great ingredients for dishes and spices and different noodles and beans and rices at Wujimaya's, of course. And then, of course, one of our favorite foods. It's so good. It really is the best. And if you have always shied away from stopping in and buying one of these while you're visiting an international district anywhere, a Chinatown, you need to stop in and purchase one of their roasted ducks hanging in the window. You see them hanging in there, and you might be scared to try them, but don't be scared. They really are the best, especially if you have a place with a little kitchenette, because you can buy a whole duck for... cooked duck for $18, and they'll chop it up for you into little pieces right there, throw it in a to-go box, and all you have to do is go back to your place and make some rice, and you're good to go. It's so delicious. So delicious. And you can usually buy them quarter duck, half duck, or whole duck, with or without the neck and head, whatever. Super, super good, usually with a dipping sauce. And so, yes to the roasted duck in any international district that you can pop into that sells roasted meats. And here's another great place we found in Seattle, talking about burgers. Lots of different burger places in Seattle. And, you know, of course, we searched around to try to find the best burger place. But we were down in the Sodo district, which is south of downtown. And we stopped by a place called Buy's Burgers on 4th Avenue. So if you're down there watching a game or you're heading to AML or you're just taking 99 back and forth because you don't like to drive I-5, you can stop in at Buy's Burgers. It's just a hole-in-the-wall place. It actually looks like it's probably some sort of old gas station or something like that. But it was voted very high in Seattle for burgers. And, yeah, we stopped in there. And, you know, you can't get a beer or anything like that there with your burger, but it's great to take kids. It's inexpensive. I think the burger was like $4.99 or $3.99. It was a double cheeseburger with all the fixings, a special sauce, you know, the tomato, the lettuce, all of it. And it comes wrapped in paper or in a little, you know, the little wrapper. So I love that because they're nice and steamed in the wrapper. And then you can get, of course, fries or onion rings. If you want fried mushrooms, you can get those. They also have fish and chips and halibut chips and all sorts of other things. And I also got a vanilla shake. So it was a nice day. We sat there and had, and it was like we had our burgers in 3 minutes. And they were delicious. So a burger, fries, and a milkshake will cost you like $12 at Buy's Burger. So there's a yes to Buy's. However, here's my no of the trip. I don't know if you've ever heard of like a pizza ranch, but don't do it. Don't do it. Yes, there is one in the Quad Cities where I visited, and I'm just going to say, unless you really want to eat like you're eating in jail, don't eat at the pizza ranch. I mean, like, you know, it's no. And I can't believe how people just line up at this place. This is what my dad wanted to do. Line up at this place and just pile in hundreds of people for, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like you're eating in jail. So, and kids are actually cheap. It's cheap. It's like 80 cents for kids plus their age. So if you have a two-year-old, it's $2.80. Adults are like $8-something. So it is inexpensive, but, you know, not anything like, you know, if you're a real food fan. So there you go. That's Sunday dinner, and those are my restaurant reviews for the trip. I will post on KFSK's website garlic mashed potatoes, and you can use that for Thanksgiving if you want to, and the balsamic reduction, which you can use for almost anything. And don't forget, when you're up in Anchorage, that is definitely the plate to get, the Glacier Brewhouse wood-fired ribeye and balsamic reduction with the grilled onion round, the blue cheese crumbles, served with garlic mashed potatoes and steamed broccolini. Up next, we're going to talk about a few cranberry recipes here on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I just told you about the great meals I had on a trip. And now we're going to talk about some cranberries. And I will give out a cranberry relish recipe next week, because next week is Thanksgiving week, and I know, but you might be planning ahead now, and you're going to see cranberries in the grocery store, and now is a good time to go out and start picking some cranberries right out in the muskeg. And rather than, you know, just use them for cranberry sauce, I thought I'd give you some ideas for a few other recipes that you could use cranberries with. Once you pick them, you can, of course, store them in the freezer for like a year. They keep quite a long time in the freezer. You don't have to thaw them to use them. You can use them frozen in recipes, and they'll thaw out nicely. And of course, you can cook them down easily. Those little ones that we have here are perfect. But you could buy them in the grocery store, too. But I'm thinking these ones that we get here in town, our local cranberries, are the best. And, you know, something good you might want to consider using them in is like a cranberry mint cream cheese. So you would just take some fresh cranberries and some mint leaves, just, you know, chiffonade mint leaves, just cut them really small and mix those with it. Little bit of powdered sugar and, yeah, your cream cheese. Mix it all up and make a nice cranberry spread with cream cheese. Delicious on lots of different things. So, perfect. Kids could take them to lunch with bagels. Bagels and cream cheese sandwich or as a little snack. Perfect to have around the house. You can do the same thing with, like, mascarpone cheese and put that in with, you know, some French toast. And make a stuffed French toast, it would be delicious. So think about using cranberries and cheeses. You can also make a cranberry glaze or sauce, which could be used over cheese as well. But I'm thinking meats, delicious. Here's a recipe for a cranberry sauce for meats. This is Oprah's favorite. So I'm sharing Oprah's cranberry sauce for meats. So you need 2 cups of cranberries, 1 cup of diced onion, 2 cloves of garlic sliced, 1 cup of packed light brown sugar, 1 cup of red wine vinegar, 2 cups of dark ale or lager beer, 1 cup of Worcestershire sauce, 1/3 cup of soy sauce, and some black pepper, a little olive oil. But basically, to make it, you just combine all of those ingredients in a stainless steel saucepan, and you simmer it over medium-low heat, stirring it occasionally until the sauce is thickened and reduced for about an hour, and you have this nice cranberry sauce. Put the sauce in a blender, process it until smooth, and then you can strain it through a mesh strainer and set it aside. It'll keep covered in the refrigerator for 2 weeks. If you want the, you know, chunkiness of the onion and the cranberries, then don't strain it. Just leave it nice and thick. But perfect over, all sorts of meats. Lamb, duck, venison would be delicious. I know there's a lot of venison right now out there. So it would be super good on that. So think about a cranberry sauce. And because of the dark ale and the lager beer, you know, I'm not sure how well it would do in the soy sauce and all that on something sweet, but you might want to give it a try, and it might be good on, who knows, something chocolatey. But it's not a real sweet. It's mostly for game meat and that sort of thing. So there's a good cranberry sauce that you could use the fresh cranberries with. Here's another recipe for cranberry poached pears. Pears are great right now. Lots of different pears out there. For this one, you need 8 small pears. And you need them to be peeled and keep the stems on them. You need 2 tablespoons of fine sugar, a cinnamon stick, a nice large strip of orange peel, a nice large strip of lemon peel, about 5 tablespoons of honey, 1 teaspoon of fresh lemon juice, 1 vanilla bean split lengthwise, 2 3/4 cups of fresh cranberries, 1 tea bag, such as green tea or fruit tea, green tea would be delicious. Quarter cup of dried cranberries, which is optional, and some Greek yogurt, creme fraiche, or soft goat cheese for serving. Yum. So place your pears in a saucepan large enough to hold them snugly. Add enough water to barely cover them. Add the sugar, the cinnamon, the citrus peels, the honey, the lemon juice, and scrape the vanilla seeds into the pan. Toss in the pod as well, and bring that all to a boil until the sugar is dissolved. Simmer them until the pears are tender, about 10 minutes. If you've never made poached pears or had them, you should. They are so delicious. Then you add the fresh cranberries and simmer until the cranberries are soft and not mushy, about 3 more minutes. Then transfer the pears to a dish, spoon the cranberries and syrup around the pears, add a tea bag and dried cranberries, if using. Let cool for 15 minutes, cover and refrigerate overnight. So the tea bag is just going to steep in there, and it's just going to have this really nice green tea flavor in that nice sauce. And then before you serve, remove the vanilla bean, the cinnamon stick, the peels, and the tea bag. Transfer the pears to a plate with some of the cranberries, syrup, and a dollop of yogurt, creme fraiche, or goat's cheese. You know, when it sits in the refrigerator, it's going to solidify a little bit, and that syrup is going to get more syrupy and delicious. So there's a few cranberry recipes. I'll have a few next week on, before Thanksgiving. And, you know, if you haven't figured out what is on your menu yet, if you have a cranberry recipe you'd like to share, you can email mindy@kfsk.org, and I'll share that with folks next week on What's for Dinner. Or you can call in 772-3808 and tell us your cranberry recipe right here on the radio. Coming up next, I'm going to give you my side and pie picks this year for Thanksgiving. This is what I'm going to serve. I'm not sure if I'm in charge of making one or the other. I'm going to someone else's house. But I'll be serving these at Thanksgiving dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, and we are going to, I'm going to share some of the side and pie picks that I have picked out this year for Thanksgiving. And, you know, I go through recipes every year, or I have my favorite recipes that I, of course, serve every year. But it's always nice to try a new one every now and then. And as I was on my trip, I grabbed the Food Network magazine, which this year I think it is the best Thanksgiving magazine out there with recipes in it. I glanced around at other ones. I needed something on the plane besides a book. I wanted something, of course, where I could read about Thanksgiving for y'all. And Food Network had the best one. And they always have in their catalog, their magazine, the 50 best, or 50 of whatever. Could be 50 drinks, 50 smoothies, 50 hot dogs, 50 this or that. You know, you've seen the magazine, I'm sure. And this month they have the 50 vegetable sides. You know, and it's great. I mean, it goes from 1 to 50. And, you know, there might be 5 or 6 green bean recipes in there. There could be, you know, several acorn squash recipes, and some of them, you know, I breeze through and I said, that really isn't anything new or different. But I did find a couple great ones that you should think about. The first one is number 30. It is the Chipotle Cheddar Corn Casserole. And this one sounds absolutely delicious. What I like about this is it has a lot of the flavors I love, and it will give your Thanksgiving meal a little bit of a kick, and it's a different taste. I kind of get used to having everything, you know, has this kind of blend to it, but I think this would go perfect with just about anything that you serve with Thanksgiving. The Chipotle Cheddar Corn Casserole, and I would definitely put some bacon in this too. But you need to whisk all this together. 5 cups of thawed frozen corn, a couple of eggs, a cup of heavy cream, half a cup of shredded cheddar cheese, 1 tablespoon of minced chipotle in adobo sauce. And, you know, you always have to get those little cans, and then you have to waste the rest of it. But go ahead and just freeze it in an ice cube tray. And then once it's frozen, take those out and throw them in a little Ziploc baggie. Make sure it's labeled, and you can not waste the adobo. Also, some salt and pepper. Pour that into a buttered 1-quart baking dish. Bake at 375 for 30 minutes. I would go ahead and add some crumbled bacon in that. But that's super easy. If you're bringing a vegetable side for Thanksgiving and that's all you have to bring, this dish is, I think, would be a hit. I love corn. Not the corn at the pizza barn, though, because it's out of a huge can. But this, you're going to use some frozen corn. It'd be delicious. And maybe it's some corn that you put up this summer when corn was a little cheaper in town and you bought a whole bunch of it and froze corn like we talked about earlier. So this is an excellent, excellent dish. There's 2 others I want to share with you that I thought stood out in the 50 vegetable sides. And, you know, you could probably look through this and 3 others are going to stand out to you. The acorn squash with pepitas, which are pumpkin seeds. You have 2 acorn squash. Cut them in half. Slice them into 1-inch thick wedges. You don't have to, you know, do anything else to them there. Just cut them into wedges. Toss with 4 tablespoons of melted butter, 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, and 3/4 teaspoon of smoked paprika and kosher salt each. And I think what I liked about this was the pepitas and the smoked paprika. Yum. And some kosher salt if you have a little smoked salt. That would be delicious. Also, smoked paprika salt would really be good. Roast at 425 for 40 minutes. Sprinkle with 3 tablespoons of the pepitas and roast 5 more minutes and season with the salt for finishing it off. And delicious. So it's just a different way to serve the squash. And with the acorn or with the pepitas, a little bit the crunchiness and the smoked paprika, that gives it a little bit of a different flavor. And, you know, there isn't any, I can't think of another squash recipe I'd rather have. So that's a good one. That's number 21 in the magazine. And then here's another one. And it's not, you know, a traditional dish for Thanksgiving. However, it could really fit well with the meal. And this is shiitake mushrooms with edamame saute. So you need to go to the grocery store, get 1 pound of quartered shiitake mushrooms, quarter them, and 3 tablespoons of butter over medium-high heat, and you're going to saute them for 5 minutes. Add in 2 teaspoons of grated ginger and a little salt. And then you're going to cook 2 cups of frozen shelled edamame in boiling water for 5 minutes. Drain that and toss with the shiitakes. And, you know, that would go really, really well with the meal. So it depends on maybe, you know, what you're basting your turkey with or whatever. But I thought it would be something very, very good and delicious. Love edamame. And that would be excellent. So there are my 3 new picks for sides That's number 29 out of the Food Network. And now, are you ready for the pies? So this is going to be a good pie year for some of you who took the pie crust class, because you know how to make a good crust now. So now you can fill them with some of these delicious pies. And I love apple pies. Love it, love it, love them. And I also like pies with some dried fruit in them. So here's a recipe for apple dried fruit pie. What I like about this is it's kind of, you puree it all together. And so it's going to be different than your normal apple pie or dried fruit pie. You're not just going to get chunks of raisins or this or that. And I'm not going to tell you how to make the dough, because everyone has their dough recipe. And if you need a good one, I can email you one. I can email you my favorite one, which happens to be Betty Crocker. But you need your pie dough. You need some all-purpose flour for dusting. You need a couple pounds of crisp apples, like a Granny Smith or a Gala. You need a half a cup of golden raisins, 1 cup of dried plums, 1 cup of dried figs, 1/2 cup of dried cherries, 1/3 cup of sugar. You can probably scrounge through your pantry and find remnants of some boxes that you haven't used all the dried fruit. You can use this. You can use it in this. 1/3 cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of instant tapioca, 2 teaspoons of orange-flavored liqueur or apple brandy, 1 teaspoon of lemon zest. You need ground cinnamon, salt, allspice, a couple tablespoons of unsalted butter cut into small pieces to dot it with at the end, and 1 large beaten egg. So you're going to make your pie dough, and you're going, it's a 2-crust pie. So ease your first one into like a 9-inch pie plate, put it back in the fridge and let it chill so it's going to be nice and flaky. And then to make your filling, you peel and chop the apples, and then you pulse the apples, the raisins, the dried plums, the figs, and the cherries, all of it in a food processor until chunky. You don't want it to be like pureed, but nice and chunky. Then transfer it to a bowl and toss it with the sugar, the tapioca, which makes it thick, the orange liqueur, lemon zest, cinnamon, salt, and the allspice. And spoon that into the crust, dot it with a little butter, and then roll out your second pie dough on top. You can be really fancy and make a nice lattice crust for this. Would be really, really nice, but it's not necessary. You can do a bunch of cutouts. You know, make it your own sort of lattice thing by making a bunch of cutouts, oak leaf cutouts or whatever, with your little pie cutouts or anything like that. Or you can just put the whole thing over the top and cut the slits in it. That's fine. And basically, brush the crust with beaten egg, put it on the baking sheet, put it in the oven, and bake it until it's bubbly, about an hour. And let it cool and set about 3 hours after that. I think that's pretty important with this pie. But this is definitely the pie I'm making. I might make a couple pies. I don't want to go overboard and bring more than I'm supposed to Thanksgiving, but I'll have to make some stuff for home, right? So that's my pie pick. I've got 2 more pie picks I'm going to share with you. I love pumpkin pie, and I love it with fresh pumpkin puree. Just love it. But what about putting a little bit of coconut milk instead of the sweetened condensed milk? And this one is a pumpkin coconut pie. I think it would be absolutely delicious. So for the crust, you just you need some flour, sweetened flaked coconut, and you're going to want more for topping. The cold unsalted butter cut into small pieces, your vegetable shortening, and your salt. And so basically you're making this pie crust like you would make a normal pie crust, only you've added some coconut into it. And that's pretty much it. It's just adding coconut. So if you want to use your pie crust recipe, go ahead and do it and just add 1/4 cup of the sweetened flaked coconut. And it really won't make that much difference. You might need to add just a little bit more water to it. Then you, of course, put it in a pie plate. Let it chill. And you're going to bake this crust just like you would a regular pumpkin pie. And take it out after you've baked it and put on the... You can use dried beans or weights. That's fine. I usually use dried beans. Bake it till golden brown, 20 minutes. Take it out, let it cool completely, and then make the filling. So it's pretty much like making regular pumpkin pie, only you're using some coconut milk. You need a 15-ounce can of pumpkin, cup of coconut milk, 3/4 cup of sugar, a couple of eggs, 1 tablespoon of coconut rum, which is optional. You don't have to have coconut rum, but I would definitely put that in there. That's what I'm going to do. 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 1/4 teaspoon of allspice. Mix it all together, transfer, put it into the pie pan, put it in the oven, bake for an hour, sprinkle with more coconut around the edge of the pie after an hour, and bake it for about 15 more minutes, and let that coconut toast up. So you're just sprinkling it around the edge. Isn't that delicious? A little coconut flavor. Yum. So something a little bit different with your pumpkin pie. And then to top this off, this meal off, actually, you know, I know many of you out there do not like pecan pies. But I love pecan pies. It's the only time of the year that I ever eat a pecan pie. And I don't need to have the chocolate in the pecan pie. I don't need to have that extra. But, you know, that pecan pie, yum. And this one actually has a little bourbon in it. It's a bourbon pecan pie. And so start off with your crust, just like you usually do. You don't need to do anything extra to it. Start off with your bottom crust. And then make your filling, which is pecans, 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 2 large eggs, 2/3 cup of packed light brown sugar, 1/2 cup of molasses, 2 tablespoons of bourbon, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And, you know, if you don't want the bourbon in there, you can put something else in there. What I like about this one, it doesn't call for... corn syrup, like a lot of them do. So if you want to stay away from the corn syrup, that's why you've never had a pecan pie. You can have a pie without corn syrup. So you're going to spread your pecans on a baking sheet and toast them a little bit for about 10 to 12 minutes. Put them in a plate and return the empty baking sheet to the lower oven rack. Melt the butter in a small skillet over medium heat, stirring with a rubber spatula until brown flecks appear. Let it cool slightly. Whisk the brown butter, eggs, brown sugar, the molasses, the bourbon, and the salt in a bowl. Scatter the toasted pecans in the prepared crust. Pour it in the brown sugar mixture. Put the pie directly on the hot baking sheet in the oven. Reduce the temperature to 325. Bake until the crust is golden brown and the filling is set. 45 to 55 minutes. Transfer to a rack and let cool at least 1 hour before serving. I've never had warm pecan pie. Usually have it, you know, definitely later on, but so good with ice cream. Yum. And next week, listen in, because you're going to have a chance to win on What's for Dinner. A bourbon pecan pie. I'm going to make it. I'm going to bring it here. And you can win it next week. So you have to tune in to find out how you're going to win a bourbon pecan pie. And those are my side and pie picks for Thanksgiving this year, everyone. If you want to share any of your favorite recipes for Thanksgiving, a pie or anything like that you think is just totally fantastic, email mindy@kfsk.org. Coming up next, it's the drink of the week.
Potato, 2 potato, 3 potato, 4, 5 potato, 6 potato, 7 potato more.
Mama makes the mashed potatoes tonight.
Shoo, do what?
Mama makes the mashed potatoes tonight.
Shoo, do what?
First she cleans them, gently preens them, next she scrubs them, rubber dubs them. Mama makes the mashed potatoes tonight.
What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Hosting Wednesday trivia, Thursday night open mic, and a DJ for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store open 7 days a week and on Facebook.
She peels them, then she soaks them, artichokes them. Mama makes the mashed potatoes tonight. Mama makes the mashed potatoes tonight.
And welcome back to What's for Dinner. We're going to talk about the drink of the week. And last year I gave you a recipe for cranberry-infused vodka. It's not hard to do, and now's the time to make your cranberry-infused vodka, especially for Christmas because, you know, you got a good 4 weeks. If you're making it for Thanksgiving, it'll still be good after about a week. It just won't be as cranberry-tasting as it would at Christmas time, but now is the time to do it, which is why I'm reminding you. You need to get some vodka. This is not something you really need a recipe for, but you do need to get a bottle of vodka, and I would suggest not buying the cheap stuff. And you don't have to buy the expensive stuff, something in the middle of the road. And then you need some cranberries. You can go out and get them out in the muskeg, or you can buy them. And just for one nice bottle of vodka, maybe one bag of cranberries. And then just some sugar. Put it in a heavy saucepan, the sugar and the cranberries, and some orange peel. And let that simmer and let the cranberries pop open. And you're making a nice cranberry sauce out of all of that. You can add a little water if you want to. But basically, you're cooking those cranberries down and making the sauce. A very nice sweet sauce. A little mint would be good as well. And then what you do is you put that in a big jar, like a gallon jar or half gallon jar. Depends on how much vodka you bought. And add your vodka to it. Put the lid on it and let it steep for a couple weeks until you're ready to use it. Then strain it out and you have a cranberry vodka to use in your different holiday drinks or punches and things like that. So there you go. You can do the same thing without alcohol. You can just make a cranberry syrup and use cranberry syrup with like Sprite or other drinks if you're making non-alcohol drinks too. So you can make a cranberry syrup the same way, strain it out, put it in the refrigerator for, you know, it'll keep for a couple weeks and use that in non-alcohol drinks as well. So there's your cranberry vodka. Get going on that this weekend. And here's an ingredient. Here's a drink from the banana factory in Florida. It's called a madre. It is a madre, and it uses cranberry vodka. So I thought I'd give this one to you today. 1.5 ounces of cranberry vodka, 1/2 ounce of cranberry juice, 1 ounce of orange juice, and 1 cherry. So cranberry orange, basically. In a highball glass full of ice, mix 1.5 ounces of cranberry vodka, 1/2 ounce of cranberry juice, and 1 ounce of orange juice. Stir and serve. You can garnish it with cranberry. You can garnish it with cherry. And really, you don't even have to serve it in a highball glass. You could serve it in any sort of glass that you want to. But that's a fun drink. You could also shake it up in a shaker and pour it out into a martini glass or something like that. Not serve it on ice. That's the drink of the week. Get going on anything cranberry that you're going to make, and it'll stick in the fridge for a while. And that's it for What's for Dinner. I'll see some of you tomorrow at the Gnocchi class that's here at KFSK at 6 o'clock. That class is full, so if you haven't registered yet, we might have another class if you call. Put you on a list for another one. Listen in next week for a chance to win a fresh bourbon pecan pie. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. What's for Dinner is brought to you by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store and the Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store. If you missed any part of today's What's for Dinner, you can hear it in its entirety on KFSK.org later on today. Thanks for tuning in.